Many years ago, I introduced the mottos to this church, and I have a record of the mottos that I've spoken on going right back to 1965. And I've kept one motto from each year. I think I've got them all. And looking back on the mottos that I've got, that we've taken as a church and people, I believe that every year there have been a message for us. And I hope that once again tonight the message will be to each one of us here, and that when you receive the motto card at the conclusion of our service, you'll be able to take it home, and that you will put it somewhere where it reminds you of God's word to us at this particular time. I think it's always good to refresh your memory concerning the word of God. This morning, as indeed has been said, we had a very good time, didn't we, about the message from the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13. The Lord laid those words upon my heart and life during this last week, and I know that it was a message from the Lord. I must say I was very encouraged to get so many amens in one service. It almost kept me preaching for another hour. But maybe we won't quite get that tonight, but we did have a good time, and anybody who would like to have a copy of that tape, if you ask Pat, I'm sure that she'll do one for you. Our motto this year is a very familiar verse to every Bible-believing Christian. And I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter and chapter 5. We've read, of course, from the Gospel of Matthew, and you will see the relevance of that particular portion. But our motto is found in 1 Peter and chapter 5, and the very well-known verse, verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I've always been struck with the relevancy of the word of God. It seems to me that this book that we have in our hand tonight has been relevant for every age and for all sorts of different people from every sort of background. When these words were written, the early Christians were persecuted. In fact, if you turn over to chapter 1 and the first verse, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Scattered. And the reason why they were scattered was simply that they were persecuted Christians. We know that in the early days of the New Testament church, many of the Christians received stripes, as the word of God says, upon their backs. The lash of the whip was upon their back. Some had to have beds of spikes. In other words, they were laid on beds of spikes and someone would run over them. Others were thrown into prison. Some were stoned to death. Others were put in the arena with the wild animals who haven't eaten for a week. Some were crucified upon the cross. And when you think of that sort of background, you can see how relevant this word was to those sort of Christians who feared that thee would be taken next. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And today I believe that there are many Christians in the world who are being persecuted. Some people have said that this century, or the last century and this century, there are more Christians being persecuted than in any other century in the history of this old world. You imagine tonight that there are many people in prison. You imagine some of the persecutions and troubles and trials that they are suffering simply and solely because they've confessed the name of Christ. Just imagine this word coming to them. Cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And what about us? We're living in this 21st modern age. And surely this is a message for us. For every one of you as individuals and as a church and people, God says to us, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There are two writers which I like reading, probably more than any others. One is F.B. Meyer, who I have many devotional books on. And he says about this verse, this precious golden verse. And it is a golden verse, isn't it? There's hardly any verse that you could say is a greater verse for Christians who are up against it, at wit's end corner, hard pressed. C.H. Spurgeon, of course, is the other writer. I read many, many writers, but I do read Spurgeon every week. And he says, what a rich text. You couldn't say any more, because it really is a rich text. There's so much wealth in it, and I trust tonight it will be a rich text to each one of us. If I were to give a title to this message, and it's difficult to do that, I would have to say that what I really want to show you is that this is God's finger pointing at you. God's finger pointing at you and saying, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. John Careless was one of the early martyrs in this country of ours. His name, of course, obviously is a strange name. But before his martyrdom, he wrote to a friend and he said, now I am going to take a nap in Christ's lap. And when I do that, I myself will really become careless. What a wonderful thing to say just before you're going to die by execution for being a Protestant. Careless. And that's what our verse speaks about, of course. And I trust that each one of us tonight will learn something about being careless because we cast all our care upon him. I want you to notice, first of all, in our verse, the subject. I'm sure that as you look at this verse and you analyse it for yourself, you'll see that the subject jumps out at you. It's about care. All your care. What can we say about care tonight that will help us as we understand this verse? Well, the first thing that I'm sure that we have to say is we all have cares. There's nobody without a care in the world. We sometimes speak about that he looks like a person without a care in the world, but it's not true, is it? Because we all have care. Someone has said that really, it's a disease, and it ought to be called the disease care. There are two Greek words here for that word care, but the one that is actually used here is the word that we actually get our word anxiety from. And from anxiety, you will know that there are various things we in fact have, and you could almost say that there are four things. First of all, there's that word worry. Worry is an Anglo-Saxon word which derivates from a word which speaks of the wolf. And it means harm. It means actually wargam, which means to strangle. And if you're worried, you know something about being strangled. And then there's the word anxious. Anxious really about the future. And about what will really take place in the future. I understand there was a parcel that was sent from Norway. And in large letters on the front, the person who sent it wanted to indicate that the contents were fragile. Well, the sender had limited knowledge of the English language. And he thought that he was using the correct words, but he put handle with anxiety. Well, there are many Christians you could say that about as well. And then another word is not just the word worry and the word anxious, but it is this word care that we're talking about. And the word care really speaks about burdens. Burdens that somehow bury you. Burdens which bear you down and make you to be hardly anything at all. And then the fourth thing about this word that we said is here in our language is the word fear. Fear is a very real thing to most people. Fear of the future. What's going to happen in the future to me and my life? Sometimes people fear the darkness because they've read reports of what takes place in the darkness, and therefore they won't walk alone in the darkness. And we all understand what that means in this day and age in which we live. Fear is a very real thing to most people, and it can be many things. It can be because of many things. So the first thing to say about this text is we all have cares. There's no question about that. And then the second thing that I think we can say about this is that there are different sort of cares. The Bible speaks of cares of the world. Our daily bread. Money to live. Business that we're involved in. Our jobs. Our children. Our health. Who hasn't worried about their health when they feel ill and they think they've got something far worse than they really have? And then worrying about the world, and we open our newspaper tomorrow morning and we've seen what's happened over the weekend, and we wonder what will happen in this old world of ours. The cares of the world. And then I believe that there are spiritual cares as well. Some of us care about God's work, the success or failure of it. Some perhaps care about a spoiled testimony in their own lives. Our lives are, of course, the only Bible that others ever read at all. And maybe we've slipped and we've fallen and we care about that. And somehow this is a care which has become a burden. A burden upon our souls. We know that we can be attractors or detractors with the way that we live, and some sin in our lives that we can't overcome keeps on cropping up and causing us to stumble and to fall. And then maybe we've got the care of what John Bunyan said, Mr. Little Faith. Mr. Little Faith. And so we doubt our salvation, and we doubt about the things of God, and we begin to doubt God himself, and we doubt the Bible, and somehow these are doubts, and it becomes a care upon us, a burden. So we all have cares, but we have different cares. Sometimes it can be a sorrow. Sometimes it can be a disappointment. Sometimes it can be a discouragement. But then the third thing is this, that these cares that we have, many of them are secret. If we could see through each other, if our lives were transparent before every person, and you could see tonight me standing at the front here, and you could see everything about me, and I could see everything about you, do you know, I think we would be surprised. We would be surprised the sort of fears that you have and the worries that I have. They're trivial to other people, but they're not trivial to us. Somehow they're a big barrier in our lives. They're secret cares and fears and worries, anxieties, and they're real to us. Of course, we know that some suffer from a medical condition or a phobia concerning these which we're calling cares. And the medical people tell us that really people try to cross bridges before they ever come to them. And that's possible, isn't it? Do you fear about something next week or tomorrow that, listen, you haven't reached yet? Bishop Taylor Smith was a great man of God who lived some time ago. He was an evangelical bishop who preached in many evangelical churches and so on. And he was often asked for his signature. And when he would write into an autograph book, he would write these words, and I thought that they're worth quoting to you. The worried cow would have lived till now if she had saved her breath But she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, and she mooed away to death. There's an awful lot of human beings who are like that as well. So we all have cares. They're different cares. Many of the cares that we have are secret. And then there's something else as well. Those cares show. You know, before long, cares do damage to us, don't they? It distracts our mind. It brings conflicting emotions. It imparts misery to us. It weakens our usefulness. It damages the cause of Christ. A man with no peace and with anxiety and worry will show it in their face. And some, of course, have great distress. And our psychiatric hospitals are full of people who have cares and worries and anxieties. And of course, many of them are medical conditions. But how awful that it is so. That we could get to that point. When we know that the answer is found in the Word of God, and the Lord says, cast in all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Do you remember that lovely little poem that we've heard so many times? Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know, why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so? Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. And even the little birds can in fact teach us, just as we read tonight from Matthew's Gospel and the wonderful things that we see round about us. So first of all then, here's the subject. It's the cares. But I want you now to notice what I call the surrender. Because our verse says, cast in all your care upon him. In other words, surrender all your care upon him. Some, of course, want to try to carry their own. But we know this, that somebody has to carry those cares that we have. They're real, it seems. Someone must carry them. An angel met a man carrying a very heavy sack and asked him, what is in it? My worries and cares. The angel opened up the sack and was astonished to find that there were only two worries in the sack. One was yesterday. And that, of course, is past, and the man realized it's gone. And the other was tomorrow. And the man realized, well, it's not arrived yet. The angel said, you don't need your sack, do you? And the man threw it away. That's an Arab proverb. But there has a truth in it, doesn't it? How many of us are carrying a sack with our cares and our worries when we can take it to the Lord and he will bear our cares and our worries? Let me show you that our verse tells us here of a requirement. It says, cast in all your care upon him. The verb instructs us to cast. It's exactly the same word that is used in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 35, when they cast their garments upon the colt that the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem with. They cast their garments on. And the Christian life begins when we learn to cast our sins upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that time when you came to Christ? When you received him as your Saviour, God had been working in your heart as you'd never have come. Because salvation is all of grace, and not one of us could ever come to God without God working in our souls. But then when God works in our souls, he convicts us of our sin. And where there's no conviction, I doubt if there's any conversion. Because God convicts us of our sins, and we realize that we have this heavy burden upon our backs. And then we realize by the Spirit's aid that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins, and we cast our sins upon Jesus. But once that done, now the Bible instructs us that now my cares, my anxieties, my fears and my worries, I can cast upon the Lord. It's not laying them upon him, but it's casting them upon him. The word is an energetic word. It's just the same sort of word which is used in Psalm 55 and verse 22, which incidentally was one of our verses, one of our motto verses in years past. And it's cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. We cast our burden upon the Lord. This is a command, isn't it? There's no question about that. Look down your Bible. Here we have so many wonderful things here. In fact, you will see in verse 5 perhaps, as we begin, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto your elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now in that verse it says, be subject. That's a command. It has the imperative. And then in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. That is a command. It's an imperative once again. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around, seeking whom he may devour. Once again, be vigilant. That's a command. It's an imperative. And then in verse 7, casting all your care. Once again, it's a command. It's an imperative. Don't we sometimes sing, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That doesn't only mean your sins, it means your cares as well. And remember this, when you take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, don't go back and pick it up again. Lots of people seem to do that. We have to surrender our cares and our anxieties, our fears and our worries, and all the things that seem to upset our souls. This is an act of surrender, an act of surrender to the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. George Herbert was a hymn writer, and you will see in our hymn, we have at least two hymns, I believe, by George Herbert. And they are very lovely hymns indeed that he wrote. But he put it in this way. He said, put care in Christ's bag. Well, I don't know if you can understand that, but that's what we've got to do. And put our cares in Christ's bag and leave it there. We have two hands. Isn't it wonderful how God has made us? But in spiritual things, we have two hands. We have prayer and we have faith. Prayer tells us what God is, the mighty God of heaven, who is able to answer prayer. Faith will tell us that he will see to it. So as I pray and ask God to take my burden, I believe that he will. I believe that he will see to it. When a father perhaps picks up his little son, he may pick up his son who has a bundle on his back or around or in his hand. He won't say, well, put your burden down there and I'll pick you up. No, he'll pick his son up with his burden and carry them both. And somehow I think that's how the Lord does it. He picks his child and the burden as well. Let me, if I can, speak to you not merely about the requirement, but also the reason. I've said this is God's command to each one of us, and that, of course, is reason enough. But there are many other reasons as well why we should cast our burden, our cares upon the Lord. Why should we do that? Well, because of the work of God. Because of the work that we're involved in. Because of the service which God has called us to. Elizabeth I asked a merchant of her land to go abroad for her and to deal with her business abroad. And he replied, I will go as long as you look after my business while I'm gone. And she replied those memorable words, you look after my business and I will look after yours. And the Lord does that. Let's look after the Lord's business and the Lord will look after ours. And then what about witness? People see us fretting. What sort of image does that portray? Imagine in your mind if you went to a market and you saw a doctor there. You wouldn't see that today, but years ago you could quite easily have seen it. He might have been called a quack doctor, but maybe he would be selling medicine. And upon the bottle it would say, cure all, every disease, every complaint, every trouble, cure all. And yet the same doctor was coughing and coughing and coughing. His medicine hadn't done him much good, had it? People would begin to laugh at him. What about the Christian who says he believes in a sovereign God? What about a Christian who believes that God is on the throne? Who says he believes that God can do all things? And yet he's fretting and he's worrying and he's anxious and has these cares. And have never learnt the lesson of casting all his care upon him. But there's another reason. The work of God demands it. The witnessing that we do demands it. What about the blessing of God? When we grieve God, we doubt him. And that's why God is grieved. If you don't believe God, then God is grieved. We are grieved ourselves when people don't believe us, when what we say. How do you think God feels? And you see, we lose out. But when we trust God, when we believe God, when we believe that God, in fact, can do it, then surely we know the blessing of God. Not only the requirement and the reason, but the results. Have you ever used a solicitor? I'm sure you have. A solicitor will often say to you, now leave it all to me. Don't worry about it. I'll deal with it. I'll do everything that's necessary and needful. Well, sometimes they let you down, of course, because they're human. But it's a relief, isn't it? To have someone to say to you, leave it to me, I'll deal with it. You have peace of mind. You can have calmness. You can have confidence. Because someone else is going to deal with it. And tonight, whatever care you have, the Lord says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Of course, some people are indifferent to the things of God. And maybe there's someone here tonight who could easily say to me, I don't care. Young people inclined to say that when they're headstrong and when they're growing up and they think they know it all. And they say, I don't care. Of course, they do, really. But they like to say that. But that's what people in the world say. I don't care. They're the sort of people that only care for their own sin. They only care for their own ambition. To get rich quick. To become famous. Full of pride and full of self. They care for that, all right. But we're talking about a different sort of care, aren't we? Oh, my friend, don't dare say to God, I don't care, because you do. And every one of us does. So here's the subject, it's our cares. And somehow it seems to me that we all have to understand that and know it. Here's the surrender, casting all our cares upon him. Here's the succour. And look at our verse, it says, for he careth for you. You know, we don't use the word succour very much today, do we, in our English language? But it's a good old English word. The dictionary will say that the word succor means assistance. In fact, he goes on to say that it means to come to your assistance, succor, for he careth for you. What a wonderful promise this is. Do you know, I began tonight saying, this is God's finger pointing at you, for he careth for you. And this is a wonderful promise for every individual here tonight. Remember those posters where they began in the First World War? And there was Lord Kitchener with his finger pointing, and wherever you walked, that finger was pointing at you. You couldn't get out of the way of it. It kept pointing at you. Your country needs you. And hundreds and thousands of men enlisted just because of that one poster. Your country needs you, and you couldn't get out of the way. And that's the finger tonight. For he careth for you. Never mind about the other person. This is a wonderful promise for you. You know, we all need someone who cares for us. Oh, I know sometimes we think nobody cares. But that's not true, is it? Because there's always someone who cares for us. Imagine living in a world where nobody cared for us at all. But it can't be true, because God says, for he careth for you. Imagine the early Christians. And the next morning they're going to be put in this great arena, and the lions would come out and the wild animals. Their body would be eaten by these animals, ripped limb from limb. Imagine the awful, awful, awful sight as all the crowds cheer. And you have it in your mind, and then suddenly God says, for he careth for you. What, for me? With all my sin? Yes, he cares for you. What, with me, with all my cares? Yes. What, with me, for all my backsliding? For all the mess I've made of my life? Yes. For me, with all the things wrong with me? Yes, he cares for you. Isn't it a wonderful promise? It's a wonderful promise to me. I want you to notice the contrast here. And what I mean by contrast is the contrast with other gods. Our God is quite unlike the gods that are worshipped by the heathen. You think of the God of the Muslim, distant and harsh, who accepts the suicide bomber and thinks that all the terrible things that they do is right and proper. Our God is not like that. Our God cares for you. Think of the God of the Hindu and Buddhism. Study it for yourself and see that all these gods are impersonal. But our God is a God that cares for us and takes our cares away. Our God is a God of tenderness, a God of love and a God of grace, a God of mercy. Cares for the sparrow. I see sparrows come into my garden every day. And I think, God cares for that little sparrow. He knows all about it. He cares for the cattle. We know that from the story of Jonah. He cares for all creation. And he provides food for all creation. And if he cares for all these things, he cares especially for you. For you in this life. At this moment in your life, whatever you're facing, God cares for you. God holds the key of all unknown. And I am glad if other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. What if tomorrow's cares were here without its rest? I'd rather he unlocked the door. The day, and as the hours swing open, say, my will is best. You see, we sing these hymns, don't we? And sometimes we don't realise the full import of them. He cares for you now. And what about death? We're all going to die one day. I don't know what's going to happen this year. But who knows if we'll be having funerals in this church. And some have passed through the valley of the shadow of death. It might be me. It could be you. And I'm not just speaking to old people here, I'm speaking to everyone. We know that, don't we? But listen, the Lord says, I will be with thee. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. That's in the valley of the shadow of death. And the Bible says, precious is the death of his saints. That's precious to God. And so, here we see, in life and in death, his providence watches over us, overseeing us all of the time. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him. The Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Fear not, it is I. Be not afraid. Aren't those words wonderful? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The contrast. But look at the care that he gives. The word careth really is a word which describes the watchfulness of the shepherd in his wisdom and his care. Oh, think with me tonight of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He supplies my every need, leads me into green pastures beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness' sake, for his own name's sake. He's with me in death. He provides a table before me. What more could we need than all of that? The care that he gives. And finally, the comfort that he brings. Oh, if you've got this text right in your heart and mind, you have to say with me that we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have the joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have the peace which passeth all understanding, and we have hope that shineth afar. What more could we want? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Every USA shuttle in space is controlled by computers. It is said in the first 9 minutes after the launch that 800,000 mathematical calculations are made to keep that shuttle safe and on course. Apollo 13 nearly aborted in space. It took the computer 84 minutes to discover and to correct the fault that was in it. And they calculated that if a man took a pencil and tried to do the same calculations, it would have taken him 1 million years. Why am I telling you all that? Listen, if a computer can control all that and do all those things, our God is greater than that. Isn't that wonderful? The great God of the universe is the one that says to you and me, he careth for you. Will you put your faith and trust in him tonight? And commit all you have. Those of you tonight in this service who have never cast your care of sin upon him, your burden of sin upon him, then what about tonight? If the Spirit's been working in your heart and life, cast your burden upon him. And then those who are Christians here tonight, cast all your care upon him. for he cares for you. And may God bless us this year as we seek to trust in him more and more.